Let's continue to study the book of Jeremiah. There are four books of so-called major prophet. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel. They are all considered major prophet. So-called major prophet is, the content is longer and more. Yesterday we mentioned the call of the prophet. The last part. Understand the purpose of God's calling. How come Jeremiah's mission was so important and so difficult? If we read Jeremiah chapter 1, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 9. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have these days set over the nations and over the kingdom, root out and pull down, destroy and throw down, and build and plant. Here talk about the purpose of God's calling. In verse 9 and verse 10, is to root out and is to pull down, is to destroy and is to throw down. This is the first stage. After this being completed, and the second stage is to build and to plan. So the first stage is to destroy the older thinking, older lifestyle, older value, totally. And the second stage to build on a new value, or new thinking, and new lifestyle. And we know it's so difficult to change a person. It's so difficult to change person's mindset. It's so difficult to change a person's lifestyle. So unless we change, we cannot become a new creation. Just like we come here, right? If we come here after 2 weeks, we go back home, we are still the same person, then we cannot consider NYT is a success. We come here for 2 weeks, after you go, we must have certain degree of change. Some people may be 80 degree, 30%, 50%. At least we need to have some kind of change. And in order to have some kind of change, first we have to root out, pull down, destroy, and throw down. We are determined to get rid of older self. Also, then we can receive the new thinking from the Bible, a new power from the Holy Spirit, and we can transform ourselves. So come here to have a spiritual transformation. It's not only you study some, just like a school, study some knowledge only. Knowledge itself has no life. So after you study 4 years in college, probably the life is the same, or even worse. But after we spend time in the church, our lives should be different and become better. So going to school will be different from coming to church. Because going to school, we are living in the world, and the world try to conform us if we are not strong. And coming to the church, we are closer to God, and God wants to transform us. So these two environments, they focus on different things. So we should not use going to school, that kind of mentality, and come to join the NYTS. Right? I study a few books, and then I pass the test, and I have a graduate certificate, and then it proves I have gone through some kind of training. That's a very superficial meaning. The more important meaning is let the words of God inscribe inside me. Let me be empowered by Holy Spirit so I can be transformed. That is the more important meaning we have to pay attention to. To change the old habit is very, very important. And very difficult. Just like the way we use our smartphone, right? It gives us a lot of convenience. But if we don't control it, it will control us. So a brother, somebody asks him, what are you doing? I'm making the drug. Oh, you are making the drug? What kind of drug? Contemporary drug. And what is the drug? Drug is smartphone. It's a contemporary drug. Right. So if we cannot control it, we will get addicted. Before you sleep, you read it. In the middle, wake up and you look at it. And in the early in the morning, you look at it. Before you drive the car, you look at it. Even while you are driving the car, you are texting. We already get addicted. So unless we can tear it down, pull it out, destroy it, not destroy the smartphone, destroy your concept, mindset. Otherwise, we will continue to be enslaved by the smartphone. So it's difficult, really difficult. But unless we are determined, I want to change. Otherwise, nobody can change us. Because it's a habit, it's a mindset inside our mind. This is one of many many things. We studied the book Ecclesiastes, right? Ecclesiastes spends so many chapters try to tear down the older philosophy or concept. What is the older philosophy or concept? Without God, I can live a pretty good life. Without God, I can live a very fulfilled life. Without God, I can live a very meaningful life. And this kind of mindset preoccupies most of the people in the world. So they feel they don't need God. Then what the book of Ecclesiastes tries to do? Tear down the old concept. If there is no God, everything is vanity. This is the new concept. You have to tear down, right? Start from knowledge, start from possession, start from enjoyment, start from everything. You have to tear down the old concept. Without God, everything is vanity. And then the older thing can be rooted out, and eventually in the last chapter, talk about what is the new thing? Fear God. Right? And then we can start to live a God-centered life. So how come a lot of people, they seem to come to the church for a few decades, but when you look the way they live their life, when we look at the way they talk, it seems no change at all. Why? Because the old concept, value, cannot be ruled out. Just like here's Boro. This is the biggest church site in the United States. There are 16.5 acres. And sometimes in the evening, you can see the deer running around. It's a very good location. But before we can build the house, you have to root out all the trees and all the farm. Originally, there is a house here, somewhere around here. And they tear down the old house and build a new chapel. If we don't tear down the old one, there's no way you can build a new one. So we have to have a determination, say goodbye, right, to your old habit. If you watch movie or even, if I'm not wrong, some of the brothers probably watch pornography, even though nobody know it. If you don't want to root it out, you cannot live a holy life. You are not determined to destroy it. You cannot live a holy life. Our relationship with God cannot be improved. So tear it down, root it out, is difficult. But for the Israelite, because the punishment is impending, even though it's not in sight, but it's already coming. So the prophet was so anxious because he was running out of time to turn them back. If they cannot return, then the disaster is coming. So he was so anxious and delivered this kind of message. You know, a lot of people like to listen to the message of feeling good, right? Feeling good, you have no problem, feeling good. But to that generation, the feeling good message cannot deliver them out of the impending invasion of Babylon. The only one thing can prevent from exile was total repentance. And in order to have total repentance, they need to listen what they need. Listen the message what they need, instead of listen the message they want. So we come to the church a lot of time. We try to listen the message I want to listen, not to listen the message I have to. And there is a difference. The listen we want to listen, or the message we want to listen, always feel good, and God's mercy, God's blessing, God's comfort. Surely, that part of the message. But the lesson, message we need to listen, sometimes is solid food, self-denial, and then what? Cut off the sin. And that is hitting our weakest point, and hit is our sour point. Soul point. So sometimes that does feel not very good. So Jeremiah was very lonely. The reason, because he tried to bring them back to the Lord, and his message is very direct, point to their weakness point, their betrayal to the Lord. Also, no wonder a lot of people want to kill him. Then after Jeremiah warned them, they don't want to listen, and God already revealed, it has been confirmed, they have to go to exile for 70 years. And then Jeremiah changed the message. Now you have to surrender and follow them. Now, don't resist, then you can survive. And to the Israelite, this message totally betrayed your country, right? How can you, the chosen people, surrender to the Babylon who worship the idol? But to Jeremiah, you don't want to repent, so God's punishment is coming, right? It's become no return decision. It's coming. Now, what is the way you can survive? You have to receive the punishment. 70 years of captivity you cannot resist God's will. So you just follow, surrender and follow, and you will arrive in Babylon. So his message is from God, but his message is pointing to the way they have to change. They just cannot accept it. So a few times they want to kill Jeremiah. So sometimes if we come to the church, we listen to a message we really don't like, then we have two ways to examine it. The first one is whether the one who delivered the message wrongly. If they interpret the Bible wrongly, then we can tell the one who delivers sermon, he delivers the Bible in different wrong way. But if the message from the Bible is not interpreted wrongly, then how come I resist the message so much? Then probably I am the person who had problem, right? Probably because that message directed to my weakness. So we have this kind of self-denial attitude to use a message as a mirror, to look into the mirror and to reflect ourselves and to see which part I need to change. So this is the purpose of God's calling, a very important task and very difficult task. And how come it's so important? If we read verse 11, chapter 1. Verse 13. And the words of the Lord came to me the second time, saying, "What do you see?" And I said, "I see a boiling pot, and it is facing away from the north." Verse 14, and the Lord said to me, "Out of the north, calamity shall break forth on all the inhabitants of the land. For behold, I am calling all family of the kingdom of the north, says the Lord. And they shall come, and each one set his throne at the entrance of the gate of Jerusalem, against all the wall all around, and against all the city of Judah. I will utter my judgment against them, and concerning all their wickedness, because they have forsaken me, and burned incense to other gods, and worship the work of their hand." So here God pronounced the judgment to the Israelites. And talk about the boiling pot. You know the boiling pot, what is inside the boiling pot? It's hot water, right? How hot it is. It's boiling, right? What is the temperature of boiling? What is the temperature of boiling? You don't know. In 100 C, right? Can you take shower with 100 C? After you finish the shower, all the skin fall off. All right? So you will send into emergency. Boiling pot is very terrible, right? Sometimes in United States, do you have this kind of experience? Every shower facility has different kind of control hot water, or into the hotel. If you don't pay attention to, you pour it, and the very hot water just shout out. It'll burn you. So the boiling pot facing down to the south, which means calamity, the invasion come from Babylon is coming. Since the water is boiling pot, just like a hot water pouring down, the hot water goes everywhere, right? The hot water is not like a car, right? When you see some passenger, then you turn right to avoid the passenger, right? The hot water just no mercy at all. Oh, right. Oh, just keep on running forward. Yeah. Boiling pot is coming. Also, the consequence is so terrible. So Jeremiah tried to warn them to return. But if we look into the practical situation nowadays, the society we live, you look into the weakness of that generation and compare with our generation. We are not better at all. So we look into verse 15. The family of Kingdom of North said, "They shall come and each set his throne, the gate of Jerusalem," and 16. Concerning all their wickedness, because they have forsaken me, and burned incense to other God. So what is the wicked things the Israelite has offended? The wicked thing is to forsake God, and then to worship the idol, burn the incense to the idol, and worship the work of their own hand. In the book of Isaiah, I talk about, in the eyes of God, we human being is nothing but like a dust. In the eyes of God, we are like a non-exist. So small. Have you seen the dust? Did you see the dust? No, right? How come? There is a dust. How come you cannot see it? Too small, right? And that too small dust, human being, use a piece of wood and create an image, and people say, this is God, and start to worship this God. Is that ironic? It's an irony, right? No. So it really offends God if we worship the work of a human being's hand, and that human being is like a dust. So the Almighty God really, really was offended. So therefore, prepare yourself and arise and speak to them what that I command you. Do not be dismayed before their face. So the biggest sin, the biggest sin is to offend the biggest commandment, right? The most important commandment is love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, right? So the biggest sin is to offend the biggest commandment. We don't worship God, and itself is already a sin. And if we worship the idol, then we offend the second commandment, which even sin plus sin, more sin, right? If we deserve from God, you don't worship idol, it's sin. Then if we deserve God, we worship idol, then double sin. So our relation with God is a number one important task in our life. Okay, so this so difficult task, and how can Jeremiah complete? So that is what we have to think about. And according to the statistic, right, United States if we look into the percentage, those who proclaim they are Christian, that percentage keep on dropping. And those who proclaim they are atheist or non-Christian, the percentage keep on shooting up. So we know that the world already reached to the post Christianity age. In Europe, the situation is even worse. So it's so difficult to keep the faith and spreading the gospel nowadays because the whole society, in terms of their faith, keep on sliding downwards. And we preach the gospel to live a Christian life, we are seems against the tide. So difficult. But so difficult is not impossible. But to God is all things are possible. But we need to put more effort. So how can Jeremiah accomplish that kind of work? Okay, now we read verse 17. Therefore, prepare yourself and arise and speak to them all that I command you. So what is faithful? You should be a faithful worker, right? The Second Corinthians talk about First Corinthians. We are the steward of the household of God. We are servant in the house of God. The requirement of the servant is faithfulness. And what does faithful means? Faithful means faithful to God. Whatever God wants us to say, we just convey it faithfully. Whatever God wants us to do, we just do it faithfully. Don't mingle with our own personal feeling. Don't mingle with our own personal likeness or give any discount. So I speak to them all that I command you. Speak to them all that I command you. Now, do not be dismayed before their face. And that I dismay you before them. Lest I dismay before them. If you are not faithful to convey my message, then God will dismay you. Jeremiah. So faithfulness is a must in serving God. 18. For behold, I have made you this day a fortified city and an iron pillar and a bronze wall against the whole land. So God will make Jeremiah like a fortified city which nobody can attack and overcome. Nobody can penetrate. And Jeremiah will become an iron pillar. It's so strong, nobody can break it. And how come will become the iron pillar? Because God will be with him. So he will be very strong, as strong as the power of God. So against the king of Judah, and again its princes, and again its priest, and again the people of the land. How come? The attitude seems so hostile, right? And, God's people, God's workers are supposed to be gentle, because that kind of hostile attitude is trying to confront their weakness to God. So God is a God of justice. Before God pulled down his wrath, God wants to change them. And the only way God can change them is to preach a very stern message to tell them you are wrong. So they will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you. For I am with you, say the Lord, to deliver you. I am with you. This is the key to accomplish God's work. I am with you. So after you return to your local church, you can help the evangelical work, right? Bring the truth seeker to the church, your friend, right? To worship God, so introduce them to believe in Jesus. Or even we bring our own family member to the Lord. This is the first task we can do. And the second task, once you are in college, And probably in your college, some member already lose their face or lukewarm. And help them to bring them back to the church. And I know some of the campus fellowship, they really function very well. Also, some of the youth, originally, their faith are not good at all. But after they joined that campus fellowship, after 4 years, the faith have been rebuilt, have been strengthened. So one of the important functions of the campus fellowship is to make the weak become strong, make the strong become stronger, right? And that is the function of campus fellowship. And in order to bring the friend and convert into Christ, or make weak to become stronger, this is the most important thing. Make sure God will be with us. If God is with us, then we can accomplish his job. So this is the most important point. God tried to strengthen Jeremiah and told him that he will be with him. And then Jeremiah can stand against all the kings, all the wicked people, and conveys God's message. And then the next question is, then how can God be with us? So that we can do God's work faithfully. There are a few things, right? First thing is God is the words. So Jesus Christ say, you have to teach them to obey all my commandments, and I will be with you forever. So God can be with us if we follow God's teaching to live our life, and God will be with us. So the more we adjust ourselves, let's turn to Matthew. Chapter 28, verse 20. How can God be with us? Matthew 28, last verse. Teach them to observe all things that I have commanded you. O Lord, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So here, answer is so clear, right? I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Right? But the precondition, teach them to observe all things that I have commanded you. This is a precondition. So why we have to study the words of God? Right? Because if we are ignorant about the teaching of the Bible, means in front of us there is no mirror. We cannot change ourselves without a mirror. So listen to the words of God, knowing the words of God, become a standard to know ourselves. And then we use that standard to adjust ourselves gradually, right? Step by step. That means we are closer and closer to God. And God is closer and closer to us. And God will be with us. So this is the first important thing. So you can see everyone, if they really have the abundance of God, they always think about, talk about, behave about, and live about according to the teaching of the Bible. If we have no knowledge of the teaching of the Bible, it's difficult for God to be with us. Because we cannot make an adjustment of the way we think and we live. If we want to serve God, read the Bible, transform our life, and God will be with us. Now, this is the first requirement. The second requirement, God be with us. God is a spirit. So if we are filled by the Holy Spirit, that means God abides in us. If we want to feel by the Holy Spirit, first part is to cleanse ourselves, live a holy life. and ask God to create inside us a right mind. Don't be corrupted by a lot of sexual fantasy. If we are corrupted by that sexual fantasy, you pray hard, fasting and prayer, no use, because the inside is dirty. Holy Spirit cannot fulfill. So ask God, just Psalm chapter 51, create me a pure heart inside. Even we want our heart to be pure. Our heart you cannot control. But ask God to create us a pure heart. After our heart is very purified, then we pray, and then the Holy Spirit can fill upon us. And when the Holy Spirit fill upon us, then God is with us. So this is the second way. God can be with us. And the third way is God is love. God is love. So anyone who has no love actually don't know God. Right? Don't know God. Can you find this verse? Anyone who has no love don't know God. Find it. Try to find it. In 1 John. Chapter 4, verse 18, 8. Can you read it? First John, chapter 4, verse 8. Anybody read it? Yeah. Okay, sometimes it's very difficult, right? He who does not love does not know God. How can it be possible, right? After I studied Bible so many times, I know God, I can explain to you. God is almighty, God is only one, God is omnipresent, omnipotent, this and that. We can talk a lot, 1 hour, right? And he who has no God, no love, doesn't know God. Why? How to explain that? Then you have to look into the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and born Cain. Adam knew Eve. What does that mean? Adam knew Eve. And then Eve conceived, right? Then we know knew represents the intimacy between husband and wife. And spiritually, we and God are like husband and wife, spiritual relationship. So if we know this and come back to understand the 1 John chapter 4, anyone who does not have love does not know God. Means between we and God, there is no closeness. There is no intimacy, spiritual intimacy, just like husband and wife. So does know God means in this way. So if we have no love, it's difficult for us to let God abide in us because God is love. So if we have love and God is love and God already inside us, right? So Jeremiah loved the people in that generation so much, he wept for them. He has a kind of love, so God abide in him because God is love. So serving God is really important to have love, and God will abide in us. Right? Before Jesus Christ entrusted the work of taking care of the sheep to Peter, Jesus Christ asked one question for three times. What was the question? What was the question? Do you love me? Right. Ah. How come? Taking my sheep, that's enough. How come I have to ask, do you love me? Why? Taking your sheep, that's enough, right? Why have to ask, do you love me first? Why? Because God is love, right? If Peter really loved God, when he take care of the sheep, he will take up sheep out of heart of loving God. And God is love. When there is heart of loving God, and when he do the work of taking the sheep, God will walk with him. Now, so if take out of the love, we serve God, and that kind of servitude is only mechanically or routine, because there is no love. No. And that kind of work cannot be fruitful. Also, we do the holy work all the same. If we do the holy work with no motivation, because church arranged me, so I do it, that kind of servitude cannot bear fruit because God was not there. If God is there, when we serve, we do the holy work, there is a motivation inside. And that motivation is because God loved me, I love God, so I do this. And that kind of servitude will be very fruitful, very powerful. God told Jeremiah, don't be afraid, I will be with you. And you will be strengthened like a gold pillar, a bronze pillar, nobody can against you. This is very important for us today. Then how can God be with us in our servitude? First, adjust ourselves according to the words of God, to think, to talk, to live. To make decision. The second, cleanse ourselves to pray to be filled by the Holy Spirit. The third, we do everything out of heart of love. And then gradually we can see God is with us and our servitude become very, very powerful. Okay? Let's pray in silence.